Spade prowled the docks, looking for any more of Webb's people. The scent of death hung in the air, sharpened with the harsher aroma of undead blood. Spade savored it. It was the scent of Denise's safety. The fighting had been brutal, but now most of Webb's people were dead. A few had managed to run off completely.
We've got all the bodies stacked in one of the larger boats.
A little explosion, and they'll have their own modern Viking funeral.
It's more dignified than they deserve.
Can't leave them out for humans to find.
I've already had to green eye a few people that stumbled upon the slaughter.
Flames would burn off any paranormal evidence in their blood, leaving only a strange cache of charred corpses with varying ages. No supernatural traces left behind.
We've also found and destroyed Webb's monitors on the docks.
Good.
And we've had no police show up.
Webb probably warned them away from the docks earlier.
He wouldn't have made Monaco his home without having an in with the local human authorities.
Spade felt a grim satisfaction as a search of the harbor and surrounding grounds of the hotels turned up no more vampires.
What about the few that got away?
I'll find them.
They have no master to protect them now. It won't take long to track them.
Especially with the bounty I intend to put on them. Preferably delivered dead instead of undead.
Spade!
What's Oliver doing here?
Bloody hell, man. Did you come here on foot?
Yes.
Where's Denise? Why isn't she with you?
She knocked me out.
What?
She'd been talking to Nathaniel, and then she just clubbed me.
I told you.
I know. I didn't even see her raise the gun. She was so fast. When I came to, she'd already gone.
She's gone?
I searched for her, but I didn't find the SUV. I don't know how long I was out.
There's only one reason Denise would do such a thing.
She's going after the demon herself.
I don't think this is going to work.
You remember what the alternative is, right?
Denise's palms still burn from where she'd cut out her transmitter after dumping Oliver's unconscious body on the shoulder of the road. She'd cut out Nathaniel's transmitter, too.
Ow!
That blow to Oliver's head won't take too long to heal with the vampire blood he drank earlier. I can't go through all this just for Menkaris to track us and stop me.
Rom is an ancient, powerful demon. You're just a human. How do you think you can outfight Rom enough to stab him in the eyes?
If you like your soul and want to keep it a while longer, you'll quit saying this isn't going to work and start brainstorming ways it will.
Call your boyfriend. He has a better chance of defeating Rom.
If I do that, I may as well shoot you with this gun. It would be more merciful.
You can shoot me all you want. It won't kill me.
Why?
If it were that easy for me to die, I wouldn't be here. I've tried every way to kill myself over the years. Hung myself, shot myself, stabbed myself, jumped off a cliff, blew myself up. Even had someone cut my head off.
No, you did not survive all that.
You don't get what these brands are, do you? If they'd let me speak to you before, I could have told you.
Tell me now.
They're extensions of Rom's power. All his power, including his regenerative power.
So?
So, just like nothing but that bone knife can kill a demon, nothing but that bone knife can kill someone branded by a demon.
Shit.
Took me a while to figure that out, but by then, Thomas convinced me not to use the knife on myself.
Who's Thomas?
Was. Thomas was the priest I tricked, who later helped me.
You didn't really survive your head getting cut off, did you?
You know how vampires regrow a limb right away after it's cut off?
Nathaniel made a slicing gesture across his throat.
New head, same look, within an hour. Made the person who decapitated me shit himself before he fainted.
Rom told me I was now beyond mortal death. I didn't realize how far beyond he meant.
Pretty damn far.
But I bled when Webb stabbed me. Spade had to heal me.
Of course you bled. But he didn't have to heal you. You'd have healed soon enough on your own.
Didn't feel like it.
It might have taken a day. You haven't been branded that long, you said?
Long enough.
The longer you have the demon essence in you, the faster you'll heal.
This is all so hard to take in.
It was also frightening.
If I'm successful, I'll be branded for the rest of my life. And that life might last longer than I can even conceive of. Or it might end before sunrise.
We need Spade if you're going to try to kill Rom.
That's the 10th time you've said that. Don't you get it?
Not really.
Spade won't risk my life for your soul. He'll offer you up to Rom in a heartbeat. I can't get him involved.
Nathaniel was silent for a long moment.
Why are you doing this for me? Taking on a demon when you could just hand me over and get back to your life?
Because I couldn't live with myself if I gave you to Rom, knowing what would happen. Because I've made up my mind that I'm not the same person who stayed in the basement that New Year's Eve. It's time for me to stand tough. To face the monsters, instead of letting others fight them for me.
Okay.
You said you wanted a second chance? Well, Nathaniel, so do I.
Denise stood under a pier in Marseille, the sand ending in waves a few feet behind her. The SUV had just sunk beneath the dark waters, filling quickly with all its windows rolled down and the doors open. Denise raised the gun, aiming it at Nathaniel.
I've never shot anyone before in my life.
Well, that's about to change.
Are you sure this is necessary?
You're determined to fight Rom on your own, so you'll need the element of surprise. If you summon him and I'm standing here calmly waiting for my doom, he'll be suspicious.
Okay.
And Denise, even with the element of surprise and shifting into whatever you think is strong enough to beat a demon, your chances aren't that great.
Aren't you the pep talker? Look, I'm already nervous about this. Hearing your perception of the odds isn't helping.
You should call Spade.
You've got such a death wish. For the last time, I'm not calling Spade. Period.
Denise wasn't telling Nathaniel the other reason she was keeping Spade out of this, aside from the fact that he'd absolutely never let her do it. Rom had an axe to grind with Spade after those salt bombs. If Spade showed up anywhere near the demon, Denise had no doubt Rom would try to kill him. With her unheard-of capacity for injuries, she had more of a chance than Spade did.
I'll be damned if I stand back once again and let the man I love fight and die for me. So, if Rom knows these bullets won't kill you, what's the point of me shooting you?
Because if I'm wounded enough, I can't shift. You wouldn't have been able to shift that day after your stab wound.
Except Spade healed me.
That's why Webb kept me drained of blood all the time. Aside from selling it, of course.
Otherwise, you could shift into something that could take him out.
If Rom sees me wounded, unable to shift, he'll be a hell of a lot more inclined to think you're not double-crossing him.
Okay. Where do you want it?
If it's in the shoulder, it won't look convincing enough.
Heart?
That might kill me, if Rom removes the brands right away.
Right.
And we need him to remove the brands from me, by the way. That's going to be your best chance to attack him, when he's concentrating on pulling his power from me back into him.
Okay.
Aim for the middle. That'll take long enough to heal that Rom won't be suspicious, but it should be healed enough that it won't kill me when I'm human again.
But if I hit a major organ and you're still not healed enough when you become human again, it might kill you. I think I should just shoot you in the leg or something.
Look, we don't have a lot of time. Your boyfriend is probably scouring the area looking for you.
Right.
So if you want to keep him out of this, you need to aim for the gut and shoot me already. If I end up dying from the gunshot wound, it's still a far better fate than what Rom has in mind.
Here goes.
Denise's palms were sweaty, making the gun feel slick in her grip. She took one step forward and centered her attention on Nathaniel's side around the navel level. Nathaniel stumbled back, holding his side, red leaking out from his fingers.
Motherfucker!
Sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
Now what?
Hide the demon bone knife in the sand by your feet.
Oh, yeah.
Then all you need to do is slice off those tattoos on your forearms. Once the protective spell is altered, Rom will know it. He'll come running, believe me.
Denise tried to steady her nerves.
Wait a minute. Being wigged out will only help in this case.
Well, yeah. Hunger, nerves, pain, stress, and horniness can all trigger a transformation.
I'll have 4 out of the 5 covered. That should be enough to shift.
I still don't know what you can imagine that'll be strong or horrifying enough to defeat Rom.
Well, you weren't there that night, on New Year's Eve.
Denise had seen the creatures that killed dozens of powerful vampires, ghouls, and her husband. One burst into the basement and mauled Kat's mother.
Rom has no idea the kind of horror I have lurking in my nightmares, but I'm about to show him.
Denise tossed her phone farther up on the sand. Then she took one of the silver knives she'd stolen from Oliver and sliced it down her forearm, careful to only remove the skin. It burned and throbbed with a terrible fire, making her break into a sweat by the time she was finished.
God damn, that hurts.
Careful. Don't curse God now. We need all the help we can get.
Denise gave him a fleeting caricature of a smile, but then swiped the blade down her other arm before she lost her nerve. It hurt just as much as the first one did, and was more difficult, with the blood slicking down the blade and her fingers shaking from pain. When she'd reached the last etching near her wrist, her fingernails started to curve into those hideous claws, which she now realized had always been those of the monster from her nightmares. The same one she intended to transform into shortly. The knife fell from her fingers, and Denise folded up her arms, holding them close to her chest to stem the bleeding. When she glanced back at Nathaniel, someone stood in her line of vision.
Why, hello, Denise.
Rom faced Denise, his black eyes lit with red embers, and his light brown hair blowing in the cold breeze coming off the water. He wore jeans and a t-shirt with "Got Brimstone" emblazoned across the front. If Denise didn't know what Rom was, his bizarrely normal appearance wouldn't make her look at him twice. But she did know what he was, and the smell of sulfur enveloped her like an unwanted embrace.
You dare call me here? So close to salt water. You think that makes you safe? I'm very, very disappointed in you. You took advantage of my kindness, broke our agreement.
Oh, Rom, look behind you.
The demon bounded over to Nathaniel and seized him in a gleeful grip, swinging him around with the same sort of uninhibited exuberance that Spade had twirled her with just the other night.
Nathaniel, my long-lost protege, how happy I am to see you again.
He even kissed Nathaniel full on the mouth.
You taste so despairingly sweet. I intend to have such fun with you. You know that?
Nathaniel cried out at something the demon did. Denise couldn't see what it was through Rom's back, but whatever it had been, it was painful.
You think that hurts? You have no idea what agony is, you deceitful little filth. But you will forever.
No matter what happened later, right then, Denise was glad for everything she'd done in the past 2 hours. She couldn't have lived with sending anyone to what Rom had planned for Nathaniel.
Yes, he made that bargain with Rom, but damn it, he's already paid enough for that during his time with Webb. He was a stupid kid who made a terrible mistake, but he shouldn't have to be eternally punished for it. And if I live through what I'm about to do, I'll stop punishing myself, too, for letting Randy get killed, for the miscarriage, all of it. It's time for both of us to be forgiven. More than time. Rom, I want to get out of here. But first, I want you to prove that you can give me my payment.
The demon swung around, still cradling Nathaniel, in an embrace tighter than a lover would use.
Oh, really? And how do you think you'll have me prove that?
The dangerous challenge in the demon's voice would have made Denise back away shivering 5 weeks ago, but not tonight. She met Rom's red-tinged gaze without blinking.
You promised me that if I brought Nathaniel to you, you'd leave my family alone forever. And that you take these brands off and your essence out of me, returning me to a normal human.
And so I will.
You might say I'm a little leery of you, after everything I've been through. So why don't you show me first that I'll survive getting these brands off?
Or
I run as fast as I can back to the vampires, and you can try to chase me while toting Nathaniel.
Quite the little firecracker now, aren't you? I like this side of you, Denise. It's very attractive.
The way he emphasized that last word made Denise's flesh crawl, but she knew that was why he'd done it.
He wants me to be cowering and frightened. But if I let him rattle me, I won't have the nerve to follow through on the rest of it. Take the brands off Nathaniel. Let me see that he's normal again. Then take off mine, and we can go our separate ways. Me alone, and you with him, like you agreed.
Don't do it, please.
Tears leaked out Nathaniel's eyes, and the desperation on his face was palpable.
Why shouldn't I?
That's too quick. Don't you want to torture me when I'll be able to heal over and over? Haven't you wanted to make me scream for a long time, Rom? You can't do that if I'm human.
Clever ploy.
The demon's expression had been skeptical when Denise finished talking, but after hearing Nathaniel, he smiled with such malevolent anticipation that part of her wanted to run away from the mere sight of it.
Why, Nathaniel? You have smartened up these past long decades, haven't you? You know, no matter what I do to you, it's better than what will happen once you're human and I can kill you. I did plan to take my time playing with you first, but...
Yes, play with me. I deserve it. You've earned it.
But this will be even more fun.
Then Rom seized Nathaniel's forearms, covering those intricate tattoos, before he plunged his fingertips inside Nathaniel's skin. The smell of sulfur increased, while a hazy buzzing seemed to fill the air.
Feel that? It's the end of your immortality, boy!
Now!
She scratched gouges into her legs with her clawed hands, bringing the fresh spurt of pain. In her mind, she focused on the image of one of the creatures from that New Year's Eve. Creatures so foul, so powerful. They didn't exist anywhere but in the darkest realms of the most forbidden black magic. That feeling of blind chaos spread through her body. The same one she'd felt when she transformed on the boat. This time, however, Denise didn't try to fight it. She fed the wildness, expanding it with all the horrible images from that night, focusing on all the details of the creature that months of antidepressants, therapy, and distance from the undead world still hadn't let her forget. Her skin felt like it burst, waves of pain and energy racking her entire body in lightning-fast blasts. Only a small part of her was aware that Rom turned around to give her an almost quizzical glance.
What the hell?
A howl came out of Denise's throat, as hideous and loud as the sounds that had haunted her nightmares. Then, Denise pulled the bone knife from the sand.
I'll show this demon what the hell.
With another unearthly bellow, Denise charged at Rom. Spade circled the skies over Monaco, focusing on every vehicle that even remotely resembled an SUV. Eventually, he aimed for the nearest rooftop.
Found anything?
I've flown over the whole bloody principality twice, and I still haven't seen the SUV.
What if Denise ditched it and took another car? She has a gun, after all. It'd be easy for her to force someone out of their vehicle. Looking for her SUV could be a waste of time.
Which might cost Denise her life. Any word from Kat and Oliver?
Kat and Oliver were searching on the ground, as neither of them could fly, while Crispin was flying further out.
They've seen no sign of Denise or Nathaniel either.
It's been almost half an hour. Could she have gotten out of Monaco that fast?
If she did, which direction would she have gone in?
Damn it! Why has she done this?
That demon-dodging sword isn't worth it.
I'll try Menkaure's again.
Did you find her?
No, sire. But can't you track her another way? A few months ago, your vision to the future weren't coming to you anymore. But have they returned since then? Or can you use your power to see where Denise is now?
My visions haven't returned. I see nothing anymore. And neither can I use my power to pinpoint Denise's location. That, too, is gone from me.
Why the bloody hell haven't you found a way to fix that?
Fear made Spade irrational.
I've never once asked you to use your power for me before. Why now, when I need you the most, are you of no use to me?
Spade, I...
Spade hung up before Menkaure's could reply, trying to calm the rising panic in him.
Fate couldn't be so cruel as to do this to me twice, could it? Or perhaps fate is exactly this cruel. Letting me fall in love with another human, only once again to have death snatch her from me. Denise, where are you?
Hurry! I can't help her! I can't even tell which one she is!
Where is she? You rotten sod, I'll kill you if anything's happened to her. I will rip the flesh from your bones.
We're under one of the piers in Vieuxport, Marseille. Hurry!
Charles?
She's in Vieuxport, Marseille. And the demon is there.
Bloody hell, that's more than an hour and a half away from Monaco, even at top speed. Can she hold off the demon that long?
Where are you?
I'm still in Le Condamine, almost 2 hours away.
And Menkaure's is in Genoa. Just get there as quick as you can.
Spade aimed his body like a bullet, channeling all his energy not into his body, but on a point southwest in the distance.
I have to be there. Not here, there. Now. Denise needs me. Go faster.
Flashes of Giselda's crumpled body at the bottom of the ravine filled his mind. She'd been dead only a couple of hours before he arrived on that day. The knowledge of how little time had elapsed between his arrival and her death had haunted him for over a century. But now, would he lose Denise by mere minutes?
I will not fail. I cannot. Go! Faster!
The ground blurred into nothingness beneath him. Only the expanse of the water on the horizon mattered, beckoning him with a whisper.
She's there.
If he concentrated enough, he thought he could almost feel Denise, almost taste her struggles against the demon, like acid on his tongue.
Go. Faster.
Time passed. The dark water in the distance became more than a hazy smudge low in the sky. Buildings lining the seashore crystallized into more than misshapen, indistinct lumps. After another few minutes, he could make out the Basilica landmark, with its golden statue of the Virgin Mary, as if she were peering over Marseille. He changed direction ever so slightly to hone in on Vieuxport.
Not much longer now. Come on, Denise. Keep fighting.
A few minutes later, the outline of the piers came into view. Spade streamlined his body more, trying to avoid even the slightest resistance to the wind, his power capacity at its zenith. Still, he couldn't see what was underneath the piers.
I'm not at the right angle yet. I'm still too high.
Spade dipped as low as he could, without risking crashing into any of the structures.
Christ, it's like the baying of the damned.
But were they the sounds of Denise still battling with the demon? Or Rom chortling over his victory?
Go. Faster.
He sighted the underbelly of the piers in the next several seconds, which seemed to stretch out like a warp in time. The sounds came from the nearest pier, where Spade saw a lump in the sand.
That has to be Nathaniel.
But ahead of him, in knee-deep water, two forms clashed in violent combat. Spade's heart felt like it exploded in his chest.
Two forms. Denise is still alive.
And yet Spade knew his strength was deteriorating. Blood loss from the fight, combined with the expulsion of all his power to reach her as quickly as he could, left Spade almost dizzy from encroaching weakness. He'd arrived in time to fight the demon, but he had almost no energy left.
All I need to do is hold him off until Crispin gets here. I only need to keep Denise alive that long. I can do that. The demon might not have any silver after all.
The figures locked in a death match became clearer with each passing second. Spade had never seen the demon before, but even this far away, it was obvious neither of them was in human form. Two equally horrendous monsters grappled each other in the surf.
Smart girl. Denise must have dragged the demon into the salt water, knowing it would hurt him.
One of the creatures held a pale, bony knife, but Spade couldn't tell which was Denise. One of the creatures had bulbous muscles, an enormous, misshapen head, and a powerful body covered in skin that seemed to be blistered. The other was just as large, with an appearance that seemed to be derived from the most grotesque version of the grave.
The grave.
One of them was now so very familiar. Spade zeroed in on them, moving his arms in front to hold his fists out in a straight line. With the fierceness of their battle, neither was aware of his zooming approach. He plowed into the enormous, blistered-skinned creature with all his speed, knocking it away from the other one and slamming them both into the shallow water. The tremendous impact stunned Spade as well, but he forced his body to twist, holding the creature on top of him. His arms lashed around the struggling figure, fighting to keep its head locked into position. The creature bucked and flailed so powerfully, Spade knew that if he didn't let go soon, his arms would be ripped from their sockets.
Denise, no!
But salt water and sand filled his mouth.
She can't hear me. Or perhaps she's too far gone to even understand.
The creature's claws bit into the arm Spade had fastened around its neck, tearing, pulling. Pain and pressure built through Spade's body, but he didn't let go.
You'll have to tear me to pieces before I release your monstrosity back on Denise.
The heaving, thrashing creature in his grip began to shudder. Its claws no longer ripping into Spade, but sliding off instead. The sea felt like it boiled around him, foam clouding what little vision he'd had, until he saw nothing but frothing white. And then, the 20-stone creature on top of him began to shrink, until it was pushed away, and fresh claws dug into his skin. Spade let the other creature pull him up, not batting away the monstrous hands that gripped him. He blinked, trying to get the sand out of his gaze, but could still make out the rapidly decomposing body at his feet. Its eye sockets were blackened holes, with that bone knife still sticking out of one of them. Then Spade turned back to the hulking form of the large, ravenous zombie bending its head toward him.
Get back! You don't know if that's her!
Yes, I do.
Spade gently grasped the warped arms, ignoring the needles of pain from the claws still stuck in him.
It's all right, darling. You can stop now. Look at him. You did it. He's gone.
And she had, as amazing as that was.
Lovely, brave, gentle Denise. Demon Slayer.
The claws pulled out of his arms, and that beastly head dropped, looking down as if ashamed. Spade didn't hesitate. He pulled her into his embrace.
Do you know, in this form, we're actually now the same height. It's all right, darling. It's finished. You can come back to me now. Denise, come back.
By the time Nathaniel crawled over, smelling strongly of blood, Rom's body had turned to bones in the surf, and Denise had transformed back into herself.
Spade, you knew me. Even like that, you knew it was me.
Of course I did.
Spade kept one foot planted on the remains of the demon as he drew off his shirt and covered Denise with it. Most of her clothes had been torn beyond decency in her fight with Rom, and from expanding into a much larger size.
I couldn't do it. I'm so sorry for worrying you and for hitting Oliver, but I couldn't give Nathaniel to Rom.
I don't want to talk about that now.
It would have destroyed something in me that I refused to lose. And I couldn't risk Rom getting revenge on you for those salt bombs either.
You're safe. You're whole. I'll ask for nothing more out of life.
Spade, The brands are permanent now. Only Rom could remove them. And he's dead.
I know.
I can't die as I am. Unless you stab my eyes out with that demon knife. But I'll stay like this. If you can't deal with me being a shapeshifter, I'll understand.
Foolish woman. According to what you just said, you're safer now than you ever would be even as a vampire. I mean, silver's easy to come by, but demon knives?
The only one I know of is still in the bony eye socket of Rom's corpse.
And I will grind the demon's remains to dust so that no other weapons can be forged from him.
Good.
So I don't give a rot about you occasionally changing shape. You could transform into a zombie, a werewolf, or a cat again. Whatever you fancy. I'll still be there. And I'll still be madly in love with you.
I love you so much.
What?
Nathaniel can show me how to better control the changes. But even so, you never have to worry about me turning into a cat again.
Why?
Didn't you know? I'm allergic to cats.
Denise placed the bouquet of flowers on the grave. Its lilacs, tulips, and roses were mixed with pine cones.
I thought you'd appreciate the pine cones more than the flowers.
She cast a look around the cemetery. Spring was definitely in full swing, covering the bare branches of the trees back in their leafy coats. The ground underneath her felt soft, warmed from the sun, not hard and cold, as it had been the day she'd buried him.
Hey, Randy.
Denise wiped away a tear as she touched the headstone engraved, Randolph McGregor, beloved son and husband.
I wanted to tell you that I'm with someone. You met him before. His name is Spade. Yeah, I know, a vampire, right? We haven't been together that long, but sometimes you just know. I knew with you. I told you I'd love you forever. And I will. But I love him too. And I know this is right. It might be soon, but it's right. And I know you would have hated what I did to myself since you died. So I wanted to tell you, I've let go of the guilt and the fear. When I remember you, Randy, I'm going to smile, not cry. You're a part of me. One of the best parts. I just wanted to tell you that.
Denise stood. She touched her fingers to her mouth, kissing them, and then placed them against his name.
And if you meet someone named Giselda, tell her she's still part of Spade, too. A beautiful part. Please thank her for that. Goodbye.
Her eyes dried by the time she walked back to Spade, but they hadn't been tears of grief. They were of warm remembrance. And when Denise walked into Spade's arms, she was smiling.
Ready to go, darling?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Denise didn't need to look back as they walked to Nathaniel, who waited by the car.
So, where to now?
Now, we go to my parents' house, where I will introduce you to the remainder of your relatives, however far removed they might be. And I will be reintroducing you to my parents as their new son-in-law.
Spade and Denise had been married twice in the past 2 weeks. Once by a justice of the peace, and once, vampire style, by slicing their palms and declaring themselves before Cat, Bones, Alton, Ian, Menkaris, and a ghost that Denise still couldn't see. That marriage might not be recognized by vampire society, as Denise could never change into one, but to Spade, it counted, which was all Denise cared about.
I can't wait.
You mean, now I get to meet my family?
Now, you get to meet our family.
Night Huntress World 1, First Drop of Crimson, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2010 by Janine Frost. All rights reserved. Recorded by arrangement with the author. Production copyright 2025. Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Laura C. Harris. Featuring Elena Anderson as Denise, Alex Hill Knight as Spade, Danny Gavigan as Bones, Stuart Crank as Ian, Yasmin Twizon as Kat, Danny Montooth as Nathaniel, Nick Russo as Webb, and Christopher Tester as Rom. With additional performances by Bradley Foster Smith, Christopher Williams, Colleen Delaney, Dan Delgado, Donald Guzzi, Earl Fisher, Elias Khalil, Gabriel Michael, Jameson Hunt, Jerry J. Marshall, Jonathan Church, Julian Daly, Karen Novak, Keith Richards, Matthew Aldwin McGee, Matthew Bassett, Michael John Casey, Nusha Navab, Nora Ashrati, Patrick Boylan, Raina Kay, Rita Amparita, Sam Intrader, Samantha Cooper, Shanta Parasharaman, Steve Winall, Wayne Leggett, and Wynne Delano. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Yasmin Twizon. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Justin Wirtz. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Next time, join us for Night Huntress World 2, Eternal Kiss of Darkness. Chicago private investigator Kira Graceling should have just kept on walking, but her sense of duty refused to let her ignore the moans of pain coming from inside a warehouse just before dawn. Suddenly, she finds herself in a world she's only imagined in her worst nightmares. At the center is Menkaris, a breathtaking master vampire who thought he'd seen it all. Then Kira appears, this fearless, beautiful human who braved death to rescue him. Though Menkaris burns for her, keeping Kira in his world means risking her life. Yet sending her away is unthinkable. But with danger closing in, Menkaris must choose either the woman he craves or embracing the darkest magic to defeat an enemy bent on his eternal destruction. If you enjoyed Night Huntress, you might also enjoy these other series. Blood and Ash by Jennifer L. Armentrout, Enchanted Highlands by Tricia O'Malley, or Kate Daniels by Alona Andrews. These and many more titles are available from Graphic Audio at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for a preview of Enchanted Highlands 4, Wild Scottish Rose.
What is this?
Your hedgehog army, of course.
My what? My hedgehog army? And why is it that I'll be needing an army of hedgies?
You've accepted your power. This is part of it.
Is it, though? Because I can't recall a single word being mentioned about a hedgehog army in all of the information I was given today.
Maybe I took creative license.
Creative. Let's back up just a moment. First of all, do you have a name? Or should I just call you Grumpy? The gnome shifted, pulling his shoulders back, and scoured me with a look that would be terrifying if he wasn't the size of a kitten.
The name is Norman. The G's silent.
I paused, mentally working out the spelling. Ga-Norman? G-Norman the gnome?
The G's silent, lass. You know, they never mentioned that my garden witch would be lacking intelligence.
Your garden witch?
Yes, my garden witch.
Wouldn't it be the other way around? Doesn't the witch have a familiar? That would make you my gnome, if I'm correct.
Eh, it's open to interpretation.
Headlights sliced through the darkness and Norman hissed.
Oh, for fern's sake, he's home! Disperse! Disperse!
The hedges turned in all different directions at once, running into each other and toppling over, their little legs waving in the air.
Damn it, move! Go on, lads!
Crouching, I righted a few of the hedges that were having a more difficult time of it and tapped wee Eugene on the forehead. He grinned up at me, his tongue lolling out of his mouth, and I beamed. Norman may be a jerk, but his hedgehog army was endearing. Don't let him badger you, Eugene. Eugene's eyes widened a bit, and he looked hurriedly around. I realized I had scared him.
No, no, no. There's no badger here. I'm just saying, don't let the gnome tell you what to do.
Eugene froze as the car door slammed, and footsteps crunched in the gravel.
What are you doing?
Eugene took flight, his wee legs scurrying as fast as they could across the grass.
Holy, what is that?
I straightened to see Norman in his resting gnome face and realized that Owen was staring after Eugene.
Oh, the hedgy?
A hedgehog?
Yes. Don't you have hedgies at home?
Nope. Maybe. But I've never seen one.
Seriously? They're quite common here. Or used to be, at least.
I've only seen them online. Wearing those cute little hats, you know?
No, Owen, I don't know. Hats?
Yeah, like cowboy hats. Or little outfits. Then they smile at you all cute.
I've yet to see a hedgie in a hat, but I'll be sure to report if I do.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social media platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.